This is WKSU News. I'm Amanda Rabinowitz. Officials at Cleveland's transit agency are looking to fire an administrator they say helped a former president steal more than $1 million in benefits. The Greater Cleveland RTA placed Human Resources Manager Bruce Hampton Sr. on unpaid leave Monday. Trustees claim Hampton helped former President George Dixon III receive benefits in spite of falling behind on his premiums. They say Dixon owes more than $140,000 in premiums and close to $1 million in medical, dental, and vision benefits. A hearing on Hampton's involvement is pending. A Cuyahoga Falls man who threatened to carry out a mass shooting has been sentenced to 17 months in prison. A federal judge sentenced 29-year-old Wei Lee yesterday to 4 days after a student killed 10 people in Santa Fe, Texas. Lee had sent threatening text messages to his wife, saying he would kill her and others at the Las Vegas casino where she worked. He also threatened to open fire inside a church. Lee must also pay a $5,500 fine. State officials have spotted a black bear roaming around Cleveland suburbs. The bear was first spotted almost 2 weeks ago in Portage County. It was last spotted on Ohio 57 and River Styx Road in Medina County. Cleveland.com reports the bear is about 3 years old, weighs about 200 pounds. The Ohio Department of Natural Resources is suggesting that residents in the area remove bird feeders and store garbage indoors to avoid attracting bears. Sears stores are closer to disappearing from the Akron-Canton area with the latest round of closures. 40 stores are closing in 24 states, including the Sears at Southern Park Mall in Boardman. The Beacon Journal reports that leaves 2 stores at Belden Village Mall and Eastwood Mall in Niles. The closings come as foot traffic declines and online retailers like Amazon pull business away. Sears is also considering selling off its Kenmore brand of appliances. A man who was shot and critically wounded by a police officer has sued that officer and the city employing him. The lawsuit says 23-year-old Brandon Hester was holding an intruder at gunpoint last year when Ashtabula officers barged inside his home. The lawsuit says Officer Daniel Gillespie gave no warning before shooting Hester in the back with an AR-15 assault rifle. Police maintain Hester was ordered to drop his gun and that Gillespie shot him in self-defense. Gillespie was cleared by an Ashtabula County grand jury. Franklin County's prosecutor has recused himself from an investigation into potential criminal conduct by officials at Ohio's then-largest online charter school. The Columbus Dispatch reports that Ron O'Brien isn't stepping aside because of campaign donations he received from Electronic Classroom of Tomorrow founder Bill Lager, but because of staff-related conflicts. An assistant county prosecutor was formerly married to ECOT's superintendent when the school was closed by its sponsor in January. O'Brien plans to bring in an outsider to review auditor Dave Yost's finding that ECOT officials might have committed criminal fraud by withholding information and misleading state education regulators. The Ohio House canceled a session where lawmakers were set to elect a replacement for former House Speaker Cliff Rosenberger. A notice gave no explanation for the decision not to go forward Tuesday with electing Rosenberger's successor. The Republican resigned in April amid questioning about his activities by the FBI. Democrats had challenged Tuesday's session as improper. The date was added by the chamber's acting leader, President Pro Tem Kirk Schering, and House rules say only the Speaker can add a day to the calendar. Sessions are still on for today and Thursday. Those days were on the calendar before Rosenberger left. A spokesman has said State Representative Ryan Smith, a Gallia Republican, has the votes to become interim speaker. A community group is moving forward with its attempt to put a measure on the ballot that would crack down on payday lending. They say they're tired of waiting for lawmakers who are still struggling to pick a speaker so they can act on the bill. State House correspondent Andy Chow has this story.
The delayed vote on a new speaker stalled the payday lending crackdown, which was supposed to be on the House floor last week. So Nate Kaufman with Ohioans for Payday Loan Reform says they're taking their issue to the voters.
We are operating under the assumption that there's not going to be meaningful reform passed by the legislature.
The Ohio Consumer Lenders Association says this bill would force storefronts to close and cut off access to important loans. But opponents argue that the industry has been preying on people in need and charging them interest rates that go up to 591% APR. The initiative must now be approved by the ballot board before Kaufman's group can collect the more than 300,000 signatures it needs to make the ballot next year. Andy Chow at the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau.
State health officials say there's been an increase in tick-borne diseases in Ohio. The Ohio Department of Health says that cases of Lyme disease, once rare in Ohio, have jumped in recent years, with nearly 300 recorded cases last year. The black-legged tick, which transmits Lyme disease, has only recently moved into northern Ohio, according to state experts. They say climate change could be altering the tick's distribution. Summit County drivers can expect a big travel headache beginning this fall. ODOT is planning to replace most of a six-mile stretch of Route 8 north of Graham Road. It's part of a four-year, $48 million project. Officials are holding a public meeting tonight in Stowe to discuss the work and lane closures. The project is expected to wrap up in the summer of 2022. ODOT is also planning two bridge replacements on Route 8. Ohio's troubled rollout of its medical marijuana program has hit another snag. The Ohio Board of Pharmacy has canceled a meeting next month that was intended to name winners of cannabis dispensary licenses. A board spokesman says the agency is still waiting for background checks and other criteria on the up to 57 proposed site operators across the state. Some medical marijuana distributors are angered by the postponement, which they say is costing thousands of dollars to hold properties ready to begin business. There's also been controversy surrounding how marijuana grower licenses have been handed out. The state says it will likely not meet the required September 8th launch date for the program. This is WKSU.